All right, well, I've already prayed, so now we're going to consider God's word this morning. Let me just sort myself out. All right. Okay, so I'm going to start off with a bit of a story. Every one of you, hopefully, if you live in Perth, know about the beautiful John Forrest National Park. And in the John Forrest National Park, there is a tunnel. Yes, the old train tunnel. And it's always good fun to go in the old train tunnel. And it doesn't take long before you get into it, before you realise you need a torch, because it gets quite dark. You have the light at the end of the tunnel, which at least helps you go in the right direction, but if you didn't have a torch, it's a bit of a worry because it's a bit stony, uneven, and you're probably going to fall over, bump into the wall, and probably land in a puddle. How good it is to have light. Well, I remember, I don't know why we did this, but when I was a youth leader, several times, we took the youth group up to the tunnel. We did it at night though. Alright, so you go into the tunnel at night, there is no light at the end of the tunnel, and if you didn't have a torch, you definitely are going to be stumbling and bumping into things, landing in the puddles, and probably not finding where to go to find the end of the tunnel. Now, why am I telling you this? Is because when I think of the world that we live in, this is how it is. Friends, this is what the Bible declares. The majority of people are living their life in darkness. They have no idea what life is about. They're bumping and crashing into things, falling over, getting themselves in a mess. Isn't that true? And the biggest thing of all is they don't know which way to go to find God, to make it to heaven, to be in His glorious presence one day. That's how it is. Unless we come to Jesus, unless we come to know Him personally, then everything changes. And I love that verse in John chapter 8, verse 12. It's a great verse to know. Jesus said these words. He said, "I am the light of the world. He who follows me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life." Jesus is the light of the world. And when we have Him in our life, as we surrender our life to Him and receive Him as our Lord and Saviour, He floods our soul with light, and we have the light of life. How good is that? But feel for all the other people who haven't come to Jesus. And we were once in this state. We're in darkness. We're lost. We're crashing and bumping into things and have no way to know the way home. Now, I'm going to also share with you, as a bit of a lead-in, when I start to think of tomorrow, the 505th anniversary of the Reformation, and that's something that I love to think about tomorrow, rather than getting caught up with the heathen practices of Halloween, just to let you know that, I love to think about this other alternate thing we should be thinking about. And I want to help you see that this great event is also about light. What do I mean by that? Well, it all begins by a man called Martin Luther on the 31st of October 1517, and he's got some serious protests against church practices at the time. So he's writing 95 protests down, and he goes to a church in a university in Wittenberg, in Germany, and he nails it to the church door. Obviously, back in those days, they were allowed to do it. Anyway, so he bangs it in, and he's got it in Latin. He's simply asking for, putting those protests there, to have a discussion, a debate with scholars. How do I know that? Because it's in Latin. But you know our God, right? You know how He can make something so insignificant into something crazily big. This is what happens here. Somebody takes down those 95 protests, translates it into the German language, spreads it like wildfire, and suddenly God creates the Reformation. What is the Reformation? The Reformation is, here is that word, where the light of the gospel begins to shine brightly in a darkened Europe. The country, Europe, was in absolute spiritual darkness. And God, in His great mercy and love, chose for this event, and through Martin Luther and other people, for the light of the gospel to shine brightly. And we wouldn't be here were it not for God doing great things like that. We'd be in darkness. But God, in his great mercy and love, wanted his light to shine forth again. The light of the gospel. How good is that? You've got to remember, back in those days, there was pretty serious things happening. There had been centuries and centuries where the gospel light had been buried underneath lots of human tradition and false teaching and rituals and religious stuff that just get people lost. First of all, you know, the services were in Latin. The Bible was in Latin. The people didn't know Latin. And they're being told things like the priest has the power to forgive you of your sins and you need to turn to Mary and the saints to find favour with God. Where's Jesus? Nowhere to be seen. Left out. The darkness had come into the church. But God in his great mercy, through the Reformation, caused the light of the gospel to shine forth again. Praise the Lord. And this morning I thought, as we think of the Reformation, as I think about the glory of the light of Jesus, I have chosen this passage from 2 Corinthians chapter 4. We're going to be looking at that now. And as I look at this beautiful scripture, I want to see three things. I want to highlight three things to you. How the light of the gospel is snuffed out, but how the light of the gospel still shines. And how the light of the gospel is the Saviour, Jesus the Lord. Let's start off by reading the first four verses of 2 Corinthians chapter 4. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 1 to 4. Therefore, since we have this ministry, as we receive mercy, we do not lose heart. But we have renounced the things hidden because of shame, not walking in craftiness or adulterating the word of God, but by the manifestation of truth, commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. And even if our gospel is veiled, it is veiled to those who are perishing, in whose case the God of this world has blinded the minds of the unbelieving, that they might not see the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God. Now that verse 4 I want to spend some time on. That verse 4 is very, very important. It's telling us what is happening in our world back in the Reformation, way back when the gospel was being spread through the early church. And what's happening today? We have a God, a little G God, who is in the business of snuffing out the gospel light. You need to understand this. And this is what he's up to. We might think that he's up to persecuting Christians and trying to damage and destroy the church and trying to cause Jesus' name to be blasphemed. But his number one plan, his number one goal, is to stop unbelievers seeing and hearing the gospel of Jesus. That is what he's up to. Even the stuff of being persecuted and damaging and destroying the church, and he tries to do that, and Jesus' name being blasphemed, is all to make non-believers not look in the direction of Jesus. That's what he's up to. This is so important to understand. The Bible tells us this. He does not want us, it says there, that they might not see the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God. Now why does the devil not want us to see the light of the gospel? Surely you know why. Because he doesn't want anyone to be drawn to Jesus, because Jesus is the best friend we could ever have. He is the lover of our soul. This is what the light of the gospel is about. He doesn't want anybody to know that, because he doesn't want people to be saved. He doesn't want people to be going to heaven. He doesn't want people to be going there. He wants people to go with him to hell. That's what he wants. And so he will do everything in his power to make the gospel light be put out, to snuff it out. And this has been going on since the beginning of the church age. But how does the devil do it? He uses people. What kind of people does the devil use to bring the light of the gospel to snuff it all out? He uses, what do you reckon? He uses influential people. He uses clever people. He uses people in the church. This is the most important thing of all. He uses people who have never been born again, who have never themselves come to the glory and the wonder of seeing and beholding the gospel truth, the light who is Jesus. And they've never done that. And the devil will use people to cause the light of the gospel to be snuffed out. That's what happened in the centuries leading up to Martin Luther. And so I want you to be aware that we live in a very dangerous time right now, and Jesus told us about this, where there would be many false teachers, even in the Christian faith. They're not true Christians, but they're in the church. People who will try and lead us astray, people who will turn us away from the light of the gospel. People who will be pointing them to themselves and not to Jesus. And the church at the moment is full of really bad stuff going on. And also we're told in 2 Timothy chapter 4 verse 3 that people will actually love this because they want to have their ears tickled. And I can't mention everything at the moment, but let me just remind you of some of the big things that I'm aware of. There has been such a shift in regards to the light of the gospel, where people are proclaiming in many places today that you don't need to repent. God loves you for just who you are. Keep doing what you're doing. And they also want to say that because God is a God of love, there is no judgment and there is no hell. It's all going to end well. I wonder where that's coming from. Sounds like the devil, who tells us lies. And even more than that, the door has been opened in many so-called church circles of universal salvation. And also other things as well, that there are other ways to heaven, not just through Jesus. And see how all these things undermine the gospel, and they cause the true gospel to be put to a side. What we call the light of the gospel is diminished. That's what we're up against. And of course we live in a world that's hostile to Jesus. And even though our Western world was founded upon the Christian faith, we know that we've had for a long time people who have been really trying to put out the light of the gospel by attacking Jesus and coming up with all sorts of shocking things about him and saying that we all came about by evolution and there's no creator God. You know how it is. And people have all these genderless agendas that always go and full on attack on the Christian faith. That's how it is, isn't it? What a world we live in. Wow. The darkness. It's just there. And it's constantly trying to cause a lot of the gospel to be snuffed out. How do you feel about that? That's a battle. Don't forget, people are lost. Don't have it in for people. Who's behind it? The devil. The devil. All right, so, hey, don't give up hope, because I read something fantastic in verses 5 and 6. 2 Corinthians 4, 5 and 6. For we do not preach ourselves, but Christ Jesus as Lord, and ourselves as your bondservants for Jesus' sake. For God, who said, light shall shine out of darkness, is the one who has shone in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Christ. Our great God, the big G God, he knows what's going on. And because of his incredible love for us as a people, he will always cause the light of the gospel to keep coming back into our world. Isn't that good? And that's how history is. Bob, you were sharing about George Whitefield. England was in the blackest time ever. There was so much domestic violence and murder and horrible things because the light of the gospel wasn't in the land. And God raised up George Whitefield and others that the Lord Jesus, the light of the gospel, might shine forth in the land. And that's what God's been doing, same as Martin Luther. In the 1500s, it was really spiritually black and dark. It was horrible. But God used Martin Luther to share the light of Jesus. And so I love this verse. I love how it mentions the creation account. And you remember the creation account where the world are told was a void and darkness covered the world. Darkness. See that, the picture? And the first thing God said in bringing forth order and creation, he said the first thing you should know, he said, let there be light. And there was light. And the Apostle Paul uses this here, or the Holy Spirit leading him, to remind us of that. Just as God said, let there be light at the beginning, God continues in our creation, in our world, in our society, to keep saying, let there be light. Because God is in the business of letting the light of the gospel to keep on shining. I love that. You know, I think about some of the things that have happened in recent times. How do you feel at the funeral service, watching it online, Queen Elizabeth II's funeral service, and the Archbishop of Canterbury read from John 14, John 14, let not your hearts be troubled, trust in God, trust also in me, in my Father's house are many rooms, remember that verse? 4 billion plus people heard that, because you can't stop God. He will continue to allow the truth of the gospel to sound forth, because he wants every human being to hear Jesus, to give every human being the opportunity to hear and to choose. We have a free will. Will we choose the Lord? I love 2 Peter chapter 3 verse 9, which tells us God's heart. 2 Peter 3 verse 9, the Lord is not slow about his promise, as some count slowness, but is patient toward you, not wishing for any to perish, but for all to come to repentance. And God brings that about by allowing the light of the gospel to keep shining forth. God's in the business of doing that. How exciting is that? I even get a kick out of going to kids' clubs, you know, and there we are in secular schools, and we're there with these lovely kids and the carers. We've got like 22 kids, I think, or 21, coming along. They don't have their lunchtime. They come, why would you do this? Instead of playing games, they come to our lunchtime group, and they get to hear about Jesus. And you should see them. Oh, if only you were there to see their faces light up as we talk about the Lord Jesus, as all that, as we speak of him and give understanding and truth to the one who is beyond compare. It's so beautiful. And there's many ways today that we can still share the light of the gospel. And the thing is, God wants to use us. Just like he used Paul. Just like he used Martin Luther. He wants to use us. He wants us to come to the light first, to come to know Jesus, and then he wants us to be used to share the gospel. And that's what we see in, I want to read some verses back in 2 Corinthians 4. Listen to how Paul speaks. God wants to use people who are saved. It says, therefore, since we have this ministry, as we received mercy, see, Paul is a receiver of the mercy of God. He says, we don't lose heart. We have renounced the things hidden because of shame, not walking in craftiness or adulterating the word of God. That's what others do. We're trying to put out the light of the gospel. But by the manifestation of truth, commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. In verse 5, for we do not preach ourselves, but Christ Jesus as Lord, and ourselves as your bondservant for Jesus' sake. That's it. And so God is using people, even lowly people like us, people who are humble, people who are holy through the Spirit, people who have been born again, people who have come into the light. He uses us to keep on flooding the world with the light of the gospel until the Lord Jesus returns. Well, I just love all this. This is so exciting, I reckon. And also, let me read verse 6, and let me read it personally. For God who said light shall shine out of darkness is the one who has shone in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Christ. And I read that and I go, whoa, that's right. What about, not thinking globally, what about just thinking personally? I personally would still be in darkness. I personally would still be so lost. I don't know what I would have been caught up with, churchianity. Because that's what I inherited. I would have thought going to church gets you to heaven. I would have thought all sorts of things, being a good person gets you to heaven. But that's all wrong. That's all darkness. Never forget when the light of the gospel flooded my soul, because there was a loving God who said, Ian, let there be light. And I began to see who Jesus is and what he had done for me and what I needed to do to receive his light and life. So I love that. That's what he does. That's our great God. He's wanting to shine his light into our hearts. All right, we've got one more part to do. The best part, really, I have left it till now. And that is, at the end of verse 4 and at the end of verse 6, there are extraordinary, excellent descriptions or great declarations of what the light of the gospel is. Have a look at the end of verse 4. It says, the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God. What is the light of the gospel? It is the glory of Christ. And what is the glory of Christ? It is who he is and what he's done for us. That's the heart and soul of when we say the light of the gospel. It's to flood the world with who he is and what he has done for us. And I love that expression, the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God. Who is Jesus? How wonderful it is to have your eyes open and to actually that day when you realise who he really is. This is who Jesus is. We could read many verses here. Here's one. Colossians chapter 1, starting at verse 15. He, Jesus, is the image of the invisible God, the first one over all creation. For by him all things were created, both in the heavens and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or rulers or authorities. All things have been created by him and for him, and he is before all things, and in him all things hold together. Meet your Creator God. That's who Jesus is. Co-creator with the Father. So this is the thing. This is the light of the gospel. The light of the gospel is revealing something so important. This one who was born a helpless babe. This one who lived amongst us and chose to give himself into the hands of his enemies. Who died on a cross is our God. Capital G God, the great God who made us, who sustains the whole universe. And when that light dawns on you, you realise this is just incredible. This is who died for me. Why did he die for me? Why did he allow this to happen to him, the great King of Kings? Because of his love for us. That's what the light of the gospel is about. The extraordinary love Jesus has for us. He was willing to do all to save us. So what does it mean for him? I had to die on the cross, die in your place, bearing the punishment of your sins so that you could be justly forgiven and be accepted by God and come to heaven to be with me forever. How beautiful is the light, the truth, the glory of Christ. How beautiful it is. Colossians 1, 19 and 20 says these words, it was the Father's good pleasure for all the fullness to dwell in him, and through him to reconcile all things to himself, having made peace through the blood of his cross. Through him, I say, whether things on earth or things in heaven. What's that things in earth and things in heaven about? Well, there's already those who've gone up to heaven. They have been reconciled. They have peace with God through the blood of Christ. And so are those here on earth, still waiting to go up to heaven. We also are reconciled and have peace with God through the blood of Christ's cross. So, what a great verse passage that is. The light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God. And I want to now just look at verse 6 briefly. Look at that last great phrase at the end of verse 6. It says there, the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Christ. It's very similar to the end of verse 4, but different. The light of the gospel is also, another way to put it, is the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Christ. What's that saying? Well, the gospel is not just revealing to us the glory of Christ, but it's revealing to us the glory of God. And the glory of God is best seen in the face of Christ. What do we see to the glory of God in Christ? A loving God. A loving God who is willing to give his own son. A loving God who planned through his Son to save us sinners. This is incredible. What incredible knowledge this is. What amazing understanding. What delightful light this is to drive out our darkness, to drive out all our confusion, to know that we are loved beyond measure, that God was prepared to give his own Son for us. Glory be to God. It is seen in the face of Christ. Friends, this is what it's all about. Knowing Jesus, the light of the world. Having our eyes open to the truth. Being set free. Knowing you're dearly loved. Coming home to God through Jesus. So the devil will do everything he can to snuff out the light. But God will do everything he can to make the light shine. And the light is Jesus the Saviour. And friends, I just want to finish by sharing something now. When I think of the Reformation, about Luther himself, a beautiful story. In Luther's darkest hours, he was training to be a priest. He wasn't doing too good. And he was in a cold, dark room in a monastery one day. He was tormented by doubt and afflicted by the devil. He actually experienced many demonic attacks. And there he was in a terrible state. And the reason why he's in a terrible state is he hasn't come to know Jesus yet. He's lost in religion and ritual. He is so in darkness. But God somehow led Johann von Stockitz to go and see him that day. And they had a conversation. And Luther is just so worked up, he's so lost, he's so angry. And then Stockitz says to him, "Martin, what is it you seek?" And Luther responds, "A merciful God, a God whom I can love, a God who loves me." See how blind he is. That's not what he said, but that's what I reckon. All right, then Stockitz, just so perfectly, with the Holy Spirit leading him, you can just tell, says to Luther, "Then look to Christ. Bind yourself to Christ, and you'll know God's love. Say to him, 'I am yours, save me.'" Wow. And Luther, in brokenness, said three times, "I'm yours, save me. I am yours, save me. I am yours, save me." And that day, Martin Luther had a most amazing thing happen to him. The light of Jesus flooded him. He was born again. He became saved. Because Jesus will always respond positively to that kind of prayer. He will never find fault with us. He will not say, "You're not worthy, where you've been, what you've done." He will always say, "Yes." And Martin Luther experienced the wonder of having his eyes opened and for the light of the world flooding his soul. And then he was in a very good position to be used by God to lead the Reformation and to flood the whole of Europe with the light of the gospel. And as I said before, we wouldn't be here were it not for God doing such great things as that. So we're going to sing a song now, and I just want to say, just like Martin Luther, we need to make sure that we have come to Jesus, that we have given our life to him, we've opened our heart to him, and we have come to know him, the light of the world, living in our soul, giving us the light of life. Otherwise, we remain in darkness. So let's stand and sing together, "The Light of the World."
My eyes, let me see.
Song we just sang. And I've got to tell you, as a Christian, as I've been growing as a Christian, there is no one more beautiful in all the world than two people I know, God our Father and the Lord Jesus. And the Holy Spirit confirms that to me every day. There's no one more beautiful, more worthy of praise than our great God and His Son. And let me read to you those words again that we've just been looking at. Listen to these words, where it says, the devil is trying to stop this, that they might not see what? Glad we've seen it, if you're in Christ. The light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God. And what's God doing? He's causing his light to shine in our hearts to give us the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Christ. May the light of Jesus shine in your hearts today. Let me pray. Our Father, as I think about this important passage where I learn in your word about what we're up against, what's really going on in the world, I can't help but, my eyes get open to see the work of the devil in trying to snuff out the most beautiful light of all, the light of Jesus. But we thank you that you know this, and of course you do, and thank you for all that you do to counter that work and to allow every human being a choice, that we might hear of Jesus and have a glimpse of him. And I pray, Lord, for all of us here today, that we might have had that glimpse, and even today, that glimpse afresh, that we would choose him dearly, that we would allow him to come into our darkness and to bring forth glorious light. The light of life. We need you, Lord Jesus. We need you so much. Thank you for that beautiful story of Martin Luther and all his brokenness. Just saying those wonderful, simple words, save me. And Lord, that's what we need. And Lord, the darkness is growing deeper as you have told us in your word. And may your light shine brighter in these last days before Jesus returns. Please help us, Lord, to make sure we are also those who are in the light because of Jesus. Thank you so much for today. And thank you for the Reformation. We'll celebrate tomorrow. Thank you for the great God you are and the good things you do. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, please be seated. And before we start talking, which is always lovely, on Friday I had the privilege on behalf of the Building Committee to sign a little document, which is a pretty important document. We want to tell you all about this. Didn't put it on in the contact or on the SMS broadcasting, and that is the thing I signed is something called practical completion. All right, practical completion means when I signed that, that even though they've still got works to do, there's defect works and all that kind of thing, we are allowed to begin to work in this place, get things ready, and so we actually can start walking down the ramp and through the new entrance and all that sort of thing. You can even walk into the auditorium, but you can't. We can't have a meeting yet in the auditorium until we have a certificate of occupancy from the Shire. So this is going to be a time when we'll have Busy B pray for Mitch. He'll be getting the audio-visual set up with his mates at Ashton Admiral. We'll have curtains put in the thing. But this is an exciting time, isn't it? So we're going to have what we will call a transition time from where we are now, meeting church and hall and online, to being able to use the back foyer. And to celebrate this great day, maybe the cameraman might want to do this too. I'm going to get Mitch to do something with the curtain at the back. It's going today. See that blue card? You can turn around. Mitch, what are you going to do? Oh, hey. Pretty good, isn't it? Yay. Look at that. Good job, Mitch. So that's pretty exciting. I hope the people in the hall can see that on the camera. And can you see right through there? What do you reckon, Bob? This is a very exciting time, isn't it? And the hall people can join us if they want, but they're getting it on camera as well. Yeah, I don't know. I feel like I should pray now to give thanks to God. What do you reckon? Our great Father, thank you for helping us to this point in time to be able to have an incredible structure built for your glory and for our benefit. And we thank you for our builders. They've had a really hard time with the building industry at the, you know, how it's been, and thank you for helping them to get things to the state they're in. And I also want to say thank you, Lord, to you on behalf of Colin and Donna, Lord, and Steve and Alana. Thank you so much, and Colleen, for all that they have done as a building committee to get this project up and running. I pray that you can really encourage them and help them. And Lord, there's a few more things to go. I pray that you would help the things to be done well, and that in a few weeks' time, it would be great, Lord, if it's just a few weeks, we can all be together in the new place. But Lord, we know the new place is just a place. We thank you for your presence that will fill the place as your people come together to worship you. Thank you for a great day today, Lord. Thank you that we can celebrate together. Hallelujah to you. Praise be to your name. Amen.
Amen.
Have a look, yeah.